Well, I don't think I've got a Galatians scripture. I may, but it's all good. Amen. Someone said from Genesis to maps, generation to revolution, Genesis to Revelation, it's all the Word of God, and that we preach it, we read it, we meditate on it, we memorize it, we live by it. You know, the principles of God's Word will give you an abundant life. Violation of those principles is what our world's problems are today. But we as a church desire to live by the Word, the living Word of God, living hope and living Word, and be able to change. And Jason spoke last week on discipleship and how that we have to grow as we develop these lives for the Lord and we prepare ourselves for ministry and for work. I want to ask you a question to start with this morning. Anybody enjoy waiting? Why are the husbands laughing? I don't know. Waiting. There we go. No. Someone invented this. I don't know why. Let's see. You do this, and you do this, I think. Okay. Are we there? All right. Waiting and watching. I want to talk about watching and waiting this morning. Closer, like this. It's in my mustache. Okay. All right. What does it mean to wait? Well, to look forward eagerly. Somebody said, I'm just waiting for the day. You know, some of us have been waiting a long time for an answer that we've been having faith for and believing for. And just waiting. It means to continue as one in an expectation of. Now, this is a dictionary off the internet. You'll see how old it is. It says it's like waiting for your turn at the telephone booth. To postpone or delay an expectation. Don't wait supper for me. As a noun, it means a delay. A halt, like waiting at the border. Anybody ever done that? Our missionary people know what that means. Here's another one that's not modern. There'll be a long wait between trains. Planes, maybe. Our team going this week. We have to have patience if we learn to wait. And patience, Romans 5:3 says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So if you pray for patience, you'll get tribulation. Someone prayed like this, I want patience, and I want it right now. One example said, if I offer you a glass of water and bring back a cup of ice, I'm trying to teach you patience. It'll take a while before that turns into water. You got it? Another one, it says to remain inactive until something expected, like to wait for the bus to arrive. Now, we have this marvelous opportunity when we have new students come in to be at the bus station, usually for the 10 o'clock bus. And Charlotte and I go down there, and the first thing we ask is it late? It usually is. And so then, for some reason, I don't know if anybody else is this way or not, but for some reason, I think it's going to come sooner if I'm out in the road looking up the road. And then I'm disappointed because those lights are not bus lights, you know. They're truck lights or something. Finally, I see some lights that are real high up there, and I said, Charlotte, I think it's coming. But we watch thinking that'll make it easier and to come faster. We watch. We wait. This morning, I want to talk to you about some lessons from Elijah and Elisha. You see, the Holy Spirit came upon the Old Testament prophets, descended upon them, and specially chosen ones that the Holy Spirit came upon. God spoke to Elijah and said, "Now Elisha will take your place." 1 Kings 19 and verse 16. He did two things there. He said, "Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Mehoah, to succeed you as a prophet." He said, "There's going to be a prophet that will take your place." So Elijah goes out and he finds this Elisha guy. He finds him plowing in a field. So he goes up and throws his mantle on him and walks away. And Elisha says, "Okay, but let me go and kiss my family goodbye, and then I'll follow you." And Elijah says, "Go back. What have I done to you?" And all of a sudden, Elisha says, "I'm going to do what God is saying, and I'm going to have to count the cost." So he turned back and he took a yoke of oxen that he was working with, and he slaughtered them. He boiled the meat. He fed the people. He arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Did you get that? He didn't become his prophet. He became his servant. And if we're going to find ministry, we're going to have a ministry of serving. It's called servant leadership. And Elisha began with a walk of obedience, because the first thing he did was kill those animals that was his livelihood, and cook them and feed them to the people and begin to follow him. He followed Elijah to Gilgal, and he was watching and waiting as he followed him. He did not know the whole future ahead of him. Then he followed him to Bethel, watching and waiting as he went. And then he followed him to Jericho, watching and waiting, and to Jordan, watching and waiting. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. Elijah, that's the first prophet, don't get them mixed up, he took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it, and the water divided to the right and the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. You heard of that before? You see, Moses had a rod, Elijah had a mantle. Both had the Holy Spirit with them. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, you've been following me all this time. Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken away from you?" He said, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." We have anyone hungry this morning for the Holy Spirit? You want a double portion? "Let me have a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. Elijah says, "You've asked a difficult thing. Yet, if you see me when I'm taken up from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not be yours." So there was this need for Elisha to watch, to follow, to wait. He couldn't be away. It was like the five foolish virgins. They went in to buy oil. When they came back, the wedding party had gone and they missed it. We've got to watch. We've got to wait. He says, "If you see me when I'm taken up from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." So it was compelling him to follow and to watch and wait. It was compelling him to walk a walk of obedience. Verse 11, "As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. Elijah went up, Elisha stayed down. He went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, 'My father, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel.' Elisha saw him no more." You know how it is when a plane takes off and you watch and you look and you look and you look. And had a man that worked for me whose son was in the Air Force in Vietnam. He said when he went to that Dallas Love Field Airport, that's what it was then, he said that he took off that plane and he stood there as long as he could to see the final speck that was there. And it just so happened that a couple of years later, I go by the store and he's sitting there with a telegram in his hand that his son has been seriously injured in airplane crash in Vietnam. Survived with a lot of broken legs. But you see, when we're, I can just see Elisha looking till he saw him no more. And he was carried by a chariot of fire that he was there. So what did he do? He saw him no more. He took hold of his garment. He tore it in two. He was gazing into the sky until he saw him no more. It says Elijah's mantle had fallen from Elijah, and Elisha caught it. Why? Because he was ready. He was waiting. He was anticipating. He knew this was the promise, and he didn't turn away. He was there. He saw him go up, and God did what he said he would do. He caught the mantle, and he had a change of clothes. We have to take off the old and put on the new. That's what sanctification is. That's what growth is. It's what repentance is. Repentance is taking that old off and putting on the new. So he picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen down from him, went back, and this is Elisha. He stood at the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah. He struck the water with it. He said, "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" He had the mantle. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over because he had obeyed, because he had walked the walk, he had watched, he had waited. Well, then there was the blessing that was there. There was a reward that he received for watching and waiting. And here was Elisha, the servant, becoming the prophet and walking through the river with on dry ground, just as Elijah had done. It's recorded that Elisha had twice the miracles of Elijah. You go down through the Kings and the Second Kings, you'll find that there was twice the miracles that Elisha had in his ministry, so he really did get a double portion of the Spirit. Amen. Now, we want to fast forward 800 or 900 years. Can you fathom that? That we've got truth that spanned from the creation all the way through to the coming of the Lord, and then we've got the books of the Paul and Peter, and we've got those instruction books, and that has been firm, and we've lived by them all of these years as believers. And well, 800, 900 years later, we have another example of watching and waiting. We have another, almost a chariot of fire, but something better than that. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ ascending into heaven like Elisha did. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. And he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, having seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Don't you know that was an interesting 40 days for those believers, those followers of Jesus? They didn't know when he was going to appear. He kind of came in and out. He wasn't there with them all the time. But they were going from disappointed disciples, from those living by fear, to those that knowing that Jesus had raised from the dead and that he was there with them, and he would come in, he would eat with them, then he would leave and go. 40 days of this, and he did this to prepare them. That's what God is doing with his church today. He is preparing us for the things to come. And we're in a period of preparation. But he talked to them about the kingdom of God. As he began to talk to them, they were so excited about this Jesus that they had followed in this resurrected form, coming in, going out. And then they kind of began to realize he wasn't planning on staying. He had other plans. And verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You've heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still feeling like that this Messiah was there to take over the government from Rome and restore it back to Israel. But you see, God had different plans from that. Jesus came to usher in the kingdom of God, not to be there for government takeover, but there. Verse 7, and he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his authority. Verse 8, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Tyler, Texas. Guanaco, Peru. Belize, Central America. Tel Aviv, Israel. That to the ends of the earth. Where else? Alice, Texas. Cuba. Ecuador. Spain. To the ends of the earth, that you shall be a witness to me. It's really not something you go out and do. It's someone that you are. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you and changes you, you will be that person that will be a witness. Do I have to inform you, or do you already know that there's some bad witnesses out there for Jesus? There are people, Tom tells us that already these Jewish people that they're serving have told the what we call the horror stories of people that call themselves Christians and what they did and how that they so offended them. And we're going in there to be that which will show love and which will show that there's something different in our lives, that they will be jealous for what we have and they will desire to have it themselves. It says, you will be witnesses to me, Jerusalem, and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. To those going to Israel this week, will Jerusalem will become something new and different to you, not just something in Acts 1:8. It'll be the place that Jesus was crucified, the place that Jesus walked and throughout the country and did the miracles and was wrongly convicted and was there to be raised again from the dead. And he's our resurrected Lord today. It says that wait for the promise of the Father. Don't depart. They could have scattered, but they said, no, you've got to stay together. You know, there's power in loyalty. There's power in unity. It says, but wait for the promise of the Father. Like I said, maybe there's some things you've been waiting a long time for. But if the promise is there, don't give up. Don't give up on the eve of the miracle. Don't give up. I heard about a man that was drowning. He just couldn't swim anymore. And he said, well, this is it. I'm going down. And he just finally went down and water came up to here and he walked on out. You see, that's what sometimes happens is that right before the breakthrough, we break down and we say, I can't do it anymore. By God's help, by God's grace, by the Holy Spirit, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts, we are able to continue, able to continue. So how was Jesus going to get to heaven? Well, if he could do it for Elijah and for Elisha, he could sure do it for Jesus. If they would watch and wait. Verse 9. Now when they had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. So this time it wasn't the airplane. It was Jesus himself. I don't know if children even know how to do this anymore because they have other games, but we had a little magnet thing that we could put over a paper clip or something and all of a sudden it would just jump up and get on that magnet. You know what a magnet is? Okay. And, well, see, Jesus, heaven was that magnet. And all of a sudden, it says that he lifted up his hands. And as they watched, a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly towards heaven, he went up. Behold, two men. My grandma said, no man is good enough to be an angel. Maybe they were angels. Two men stood by them in white apparel. He who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven?" See, there was almost a disappointment after 40 days, after 3.5 years, 40 days. Then here they were gazing into heaven. Why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. There's a message there. He's coming again. Luke 24. Luke wrote the book of Acts. Here he is in his own gospel. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, so that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are the witnesses of these things." And he says, Jesus speaking, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry," that means wait, "but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." If this church is going to fulfill our purpose, we have got to tarry and wait for power from on high. We cannot do it with our hands, our ideas, our technology. All those things can be good, but it's going to come by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 50, he led them out as far as Bethany. That's not too far away. There he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. What was the last thing he did? You know how important it is, that last thing you say to someone before they leave, that blessing there, that "I love you." He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. The last thing Jesus did was bless those disciples. Have you had his blessings? Do you say, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings"? How has he blessed you? How has he blessed you this morning? He's a blessing God. He blessed them. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And he lifted up his hands, he blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried into heaven. What was their reaction? They worshiped him. They didn't just leave immediately. They worshiped him. It was a moment that was just like at the end of our worship this morning. I said, "Well, why don't we just praise him a few moments here? Just linger in his presence. Let's worship him." They worshiped him. They returned to Jerusalem because he had told them to. They went with expectation. They went with great joy because he had promised the Holy Spirit. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. So he said, "Do not depart, but go and wait." And this was a period of time there that God was doing a lot in their hearts and their lives, because the later scripture says they were all in one mind and one accord when the Holy Spirit came upon them. The disciple Mark, in his gospel, chapter 16, Mark 15 through 20, he said to them, "Now go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Jesus speaking, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They pick up serpents in their hands. They will not hurt them. If they drink poison, it will not hurt them." That doesn't mean to go out and pick up snakes or drink poison, but it just shows God's protection. "They will place their hands on sick people and they will get healed." And we know from the rest of the book of Acts that these disciples went forth and God reached in. Peter and John went to the temple and the lame man was there by the way, and he stuck out his hand wanting money. They said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you." In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who had been raised from the dead, who had ascended to heaven, said, "You will be." He went walking and leaping and praising God. So we recognize that they were able, that promise. In verse 19, "And after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere." That's what we need to say, everyone and everywhere. "And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his words by the signs that had accompanied it." Romans 8:34 talks about the right hand of God. "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So we watch and we wait and we recognize that He already knows your need and He's praying for you. He's interceding for you. I know how good it feels when someone tells me they're praying for me. But more than that, that Jesus Christ, who ascended into heaven, who sat down at the right hand of God, knows each one of us, and He is praying for us. He's praying for us. What did He say to Peter? He said, when you're converted, strengthen your brothers. He's praying for us. He's reaching out to us. So we watch and we wait. The first martyr of the New Testament was Stephen in Acts 7, 55 and 56. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. Now, he was between heaven and earth. His body was being stoned, and life was leaving him. But he looked up to heaven. This used to happen a lot. Now, at hospice, they pretty well have you out where you can't see anything. But in former years, people would see angels. They would hear voices. They would know that they saw more of heaven than they did earth. When Brother Ravenhill was dying, his son said, I don't know why that he's lingering so long, but I believe that God is trying to choose an angel to come get him. And on his tombstone, it says, carried by the angels. And so there was that period there that Stephen was almost dead, not quite dead. He said he saw the glory of God, and he saw and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now we have the other places where he was sitting down. This time he was standing. My friend Brother Ravenhill said, I believe that it could be that Jesus stands up to welcome every martyr home. Think about it. Every place else he was seated, here Stephen saw him standing. That was just a little bit more to let Stephen know it was worth it all. Peter later reports it, 1 Peter 3, 21, 22. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 22, who has gone to heaven and is at the right hand with the angels, authorities, and powers in submission to Him. So we have an intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have intercession here on Wednesday night. God's been moving in a powerful way as we've been praying for revival, for renewal, for awakening. And we have not only ourselves, but we have Jesus interceding for us. And He's saying amen, and we're saying amen. I want to repeat something here just for emphasis. What was Jesus' last commandment? His last commandment was to wait for the promise of the Father. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you've heard from Me, for John truly baptized with water. You should be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So He told them to tarry. That means wait. Before you go, wait on the Lord. I ask you this morning, are you waiting for the promise of the Father? Are you waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Are you waiting for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit? And so here again, Jesus ascends into heaven while they were watching, while they were waiting. Now when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up in a cloud, receiving Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken from you into heaven, will come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. So one of our cardinal beliefs is the coming of the Lord, as well as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Lord. And He says, this same Jesus that you saw go into heaven. I heard a message one time, and He did not use all the scriptures I use. He just used that one. But He preached the whole message on this same Jesus. This same Jesus that saved my grandpa saved me. This same Jesus that healed my mother-in-law healed me. This same Jesus, the one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you come tonight, you'll hear somebody say that in Spanish because that's one of their scriptures they learned. The same yesterday, today, and forever. This same Jesus. Can you get faith in your heart this morning that He is the same? That our God changes not? That His promises do not fail? That He will carry us through? This same Jesus. So here's the way I see it, is that He ascended into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. He said, Father, I promised the children down there, the disciples, something. He said, what did you promise them? I promised them that we would send the Holy Spirit, that whereas I was with them down there and I'm there no more, that the Holy Spirit would be there with them. And said, I've just sat down here at the right hand of the Father, and I'd like to ask you for that. And so the Father said yes. So He sat down and then He sent down. He sent down the Holy Spirit to them. It says, as you saw Him go into heaven, so shall He come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. So this means that just as He ascended up, there's coming the day when He's going to ascend down, descend down. He's going to come down again. And if we're watching and we're waiting for that day. I know that in Mexico, San Luis Potosí in 1969, when I was praying at the side door of the church, and all of a sudden I saw the clouds churning just like this. I thought, oh my goodness, Jesus is coming right now. He's coming. Well, He did come to Joe. Because I said, God, I want to sell my stores and move to Mexico. And the Lord said, right out of that cloud, by His Spirit, He said, I've got a work for you to do, but not in Mexico, not now. But you've got troubled people living in Tyler, Texas, a whole group of youth that have lost their way. I want you to go and reach them. And so, in effect, He did come. He did come. We've had some deaths this year. Joy Johnson, Virginia Ware. And Jesus came to them. He came at their pillow. And they left with Him. And that body was left behind because they didn't need it anymore in heaven. There'll come the day when that body will come out of the grave for those that were ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Did you know that we're His body today? Did you know that He is the living bread, the bread, and that we are that broken bread? We are that body. Each one of us is a piece of that loaf. He says, this is My body. He gave thanks. He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, what do? You proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Maranatha, He is coming. This morning we're going to receive the Lord's Supper in a few minutes. And this is also a statement about the coming of the Lord. He says, when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes. And so there's a promise of His coming in communion. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. Maybe it's a shofar. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so will we be with the Lord forever. Say forever. Don't we have hope? That's a blessed hope. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is coming. And we'll be with Him forever. So I said, watch and wait. What, What are we in right now? We're in a time of preparation. If Elisha was your example, is Elisha your example of leaving behind all that hinders? You see, he didn't. He knew he couldn't. Elijah said, "Well, go on. What is that to me? Go on. You don't want to count the cost? Go on." But he said, "No, I'm going to." That would be a hindrance. That would be a distraction. That'd be a weight that I don't need. So he said, "I don't want that." In our preparation, even this morning, to receive the Lord's Supper, is there a distraction in your life that you need to lay down? You need to repent of? Do you need a new coat? A new garment? It'll take a walk of obedience. What does that mean? It means to do whatever it takes to get the double portion. Do whatever it takes. That great commission was to go and to be a minister, and that's to all of us. But we have to have our equipment, and that's the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God. So we've prepared communion today. It's the Lord's Supper. Are you prepared to receive it? Scripture says if you take it unworthily, it's for believers. It's not for members. We have members of the church, but it's not just for members. It's for believers in Jesus. But the Scripture says that if you take it unworthily, that there will be consequences. So there's a time needed for us to come before the Lord in repentance with a pure heart. Even if there's someone here that you have an offense with, then you need to go to that person and work things out. Sometimes the line gets pretty long, so you can go at the end of the line. Take them with you. Say, we need to talk. Are you prepared for the coming of the Lord? Rapture, capture, evacuation, pre-trib, mid-trib, trib, whatever it takes, whenever it happens, still got to be prepared. Can you say Jesus is coming? Can you say, even so, come Lord Jesus, as the disciples did? Are you watching and waiting? Are you dreading and hoping not? Are you watching and waiting? Are you dreading and hoping not? Let's watch. Let's wait for that. Would you stand with me, please? Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the messages, multiple messages in every verse. I thank you, Lord, for the promise of sending the Holy Spirit upon us. Next Sunday, Lord, is Pentecost Sunday. Lord, let's prepare for a personal Pentecost. Let's prepare, Lord, for a fresh visitation. Let's prepare, Lord, for a fresh awakening of your Spirit, O God. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in this group of people. But Lord, we ask you this morning, O God, to bring about a work in all of our hearts as we prepare. Lord, that this is not just something we do, but it's an encounter with you. It's an encounter with the body of Christ, the blood of our Lord. Lord, we know it's a symbolic, but it's more than just juice and crackers, Lord. It's your commandment. It's what you did with your disciples. The Last Supper has become the Lord's Supper. It's become our communion time with you. So, Lord, we pray this morning that you'd work in our hearts, that you'd prepare us, that we might be able, O God, to be ready for that coming. Ready, whether it's at death or whenever you choose. You said it's not for us to know the times or the seasons, but we're to prepare. We're to prepare. Jesus, our Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, our Lord. Just for a moment there, give yourself a time of personal preparation this morning. Fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Jesus, our Lord. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, my Lord. Oh, Jesus. Coranda barosi, tikara barakosa, anda barakora barakasa. Nilo robara coranda la redi benishita. Shala baronda la redi avrosura barakanti. Lord, we wait. We wait in your presence. We tarry. We tarry in your presence, oh God. Jesus, my Lord. In Jesus, come. It's all about you, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord.
And all who are weak.
Thank you, Lord.
And come to the fountain.
Praise your name, O God. Hallelujah.
And dip your heart in the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrow.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And be washed away.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for inviting us to your table this morning.
In the ways of your mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
As the deep cries out to deep, we sing,
come, Lord
Jesus.
Let's sing it this morning.
Come.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, my Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, God.
Come,
oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
Look at Jesus.
And all who are thirsty. And all who are weak.
Yes, Lord.
Come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrows be washed away in the ways of his mercy. As the deep cries out to deep, we sing,
come. Brother Tim, Brother Robert, to join me up here this morning. And we're going to have you to come and receive the elements today of the Lord's Supper. Hold them. We will partake together in fellowship. Welcome to the table of the Lord. So we want the youth to come first over here, and this section, and about half of this section maybe, or all of this section, and then this larger group here to come over here. Thank you, Lord. He has come and is coming. You, Lord,
and all my soul,
hallelujah.
I worship his holy name, sing like never before. And oh, my soul, I worship his holy name. You're rich in love, and slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to fight. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before. And oh my soul, I worship your holy name, Lord, I worship.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, and still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore,
forevermore.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
oh my soul.
Worship his holy name. For all your goodness, sing like never before. And oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. Sing like never before. It's all my soul.
Worship.
I worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name.
Hallelujah, Lord. Santiago, la baba do corava. It's a large table this morning. Thank the Lord. It's either large or around the world. Praise you, Jesus. We're going to pray over the bread, and then we'll pray over the fruit of the vine. Join us.
Father, we thank you this morning for your great grace over our lives, over our year church. Father, we thank you this morning that you've called, you've chosen us, Lord, even as Pastor Joe brought forth in his message, Lord, just that powerful covenant, Lord, that you've made with us as your people, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, that you've picked us up, Lord, from wherever we were at, Lord. And you've made us to feast this morning upon your body, upon your blood, Lord. That we can rest and know that your covenant, your grace is upon us, Lord. That even though we were broken, you've brought us together by your body being broken, Lord. That even though we were broken, you've healed us. You've brought us together for the glory of your name. And Father, we just thank you for that this morning. We just thank you that we can call upon the name of Jesus, Lord. That we can call upon you this morning. And that you bring us together. You delivered us from every nation, tribe, and tongue, Lord. That even though we were nothing, we had nothing to offer, Lord, you brought that covenant to us and saved us. You delivered us from the bondage of the enemy, Lord, and brought us together in oneness in your body, a new place, Lord. And we thank you for that this morning. We just bless you. We thank you that you've given us the grace to be able to partake, Lord, and receive all that you have and all that you are. In Jesus' name, let us partake of the bread.
In 1 Corinthians 13 there, in verse 25, says, this is the new covenant in my blood.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's it. That is the foundation of the covenant, new covenant. In the Old Testament, it was blood of sheep and animals sacrificed unto the Lord, and it was that blood. But that blood didn't fulfill the covenant. It was his blood that fulfilled the covenant. And the fulfillment of that covenant to this world and God's message to this world is that as I empower my people through that covenant, because of their faith in me, they have a love for me. And because of their love for me, they have an obedience to follow me. And I want to tell you, any kind of gospel that tells you you have no responsibility to an obedience to God is not the gospel.
That's right.
Because God empowers us by his Holy Spirit through this covenant to be obedient to him. And that's our responsibility, because we are a witness. We are the only witnesses on.
Thank you, Lord.
Maybe it'll come back on. Father, we ask, Lord God, that through the empowering of your Holy Spirit, one, that you cleanse us, Lord God, through this blood.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord God, you give us the
Yes, Lord.
To fulfill the call that you placed upon every life here, Lord, in us. May your kingdom come, your will be done in your people, Lord. May your kingdom come, your will be done in me. May your kingdom come, your will be done in every person here, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Through the blood of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
We follow you, Lord God. Precious God. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Let's protect together. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Bless the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We want to give you a blessing as you go this morning. Would you stretch your hand this way? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Jehovah te bendiga y te guarde. Jehovah haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehovah alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. As you go today, find someone and bless them too. Find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Be hope and help. Everyone that asks you where your hope comes from, tell them. Tell them. Amen. We have a Spanish service tonight. Don't forget the Wednesday special time out on the parking lot. 6 to 7 and awards here at 7. A time that we'll be able to bring these people together.